millions of people rolled up their sleeves to do their part to end the pandemic. But for some people, it didn't go as expected.
I got to where I could not breathe. My heart was beating out of my chest.
Police officer was giving him CPR, and I still wouldn't believe it.
I was paralyzed from the cheeks down.
He was on life support for 6 weeks.
I have no idea what's happening. I haven't been able to find any help.
Andre, are you all right?
Having an episode right now. I can't hold my head up right now, so that's what this collar here is for.
I just want to do what I have to do to limit the damage and hopefully recover.
We're told severe reactions to the vaccines are rare, but that's little comfort to those who are suffering. They say they've been abandoned by everyone, except a small group of doctors brave enough to say we're facing a new disease, vaccine injury.
This is a tragedy of untold proportions, which our federal government and state agencies pretends doesn't exist. This is a disease that has to come out of the shadows.
Warp Speed required shrinking the normal vaccine development process from an average of about 10 years down to a matter of months. That required reducing the amount of time given for each phase of development and doing the phases in parallel instead of sequentially. Trials are normally done in phases so researchers can do all the tests and make sure it's safe enough to move on to bigger and bigger populations. In this case, that didn't happen.
Breaking news. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer just announced moments ago that its coronavirus vaccine is
95% effective in trials.
The Food and Drug Administration just approved this for an emergency use authorization
that appears to be 95% effective.
It tested more than 43,000 people.
Incredible efficacy. 95% for this vaccine blew us out of the water in terms of our expectations.
And it has now passed the gold standard of safety.
We will have started distributing millions of doses of safe and effective vaccine to begin protecting our most vulnerable across America.
95% effective sounds impressive, but was it misleading? To most of us, it sounds like if we vaccinate 100 people, 5 would still get COVID. But that's not what it means. It means this. Out of the entire Pfizer trial group of about 44,000 volunteers, a tiny portion got COVID, 162 in the placebo group and 8 in the vaccine group. Comparing these two groups, there was a 95% reduced risk of getting COVID if you got the vaccine. So the vaccine was hailed as 95% effective. But this isn't the whole story. Another 3,410 trial subjects also developed symptoms but tested negative for COVID. So Pfizer excluded them. But we know that PCR tests for COVID-19 are often wrong. False negative rates have been recorded at 54%, 20 to 66%, 67%, especially when done as soon as symptoms appear, as they were done here. If those cases had been included too, vaccine efficacy drops to 19%, far below the 50% needed for FDA approval. The vaccines would not have been approved.
I'm announcing tonight a new plan to require more Americans to be vaccinated to combat those blocking public health.
President Biden issuing his most aggressive COVID vaccine effort to date.
And the new mandate affects 84 million private sector workers.
On December 11th, 2020, the FDA approved Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for emergency use. Moderna's vaccine was approved a week later.
In certain types of emergencies, the FDA can issue an emergency use authorization, or EUA, to provide more timely access to drugs, diagnostic tests, or other critical medical products that may help during the emergency when there are no adequate approved and available options. The EUA process is different than full approval of these products because in some emergency situations, we just cannot wait for all the evidence needed for full FDA approval. Instead, the FDA evaluates the options very quickly using the evidence that is available and carefully balances any known or potential risks of these unproven products with any known or potential benefits to the public of making them available during the emergency.
The justification for mandates was get the shot, stop the spread, and keep everyone safe.
The vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person.
In other words, you become a dead end to the virus.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
It turns out clinical trials didn't even test if the vaccine stopped transmission.
Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market?
No. We had to really move at the speed of science to really understand what is taking place in the market. And from that point of view, we had to do everything at risk.
When the government told us that the vaccinated couldn't transmit it, was that a lie or was that a guess? Or is it the same answer?
I think it was hope that the vaccine would work in that way.
Clearly, hope is not a basis for making decisions that would affect literally billions and billions of lives.
Dr. Paul Merrick is the second most published critical care doctor in the entire world, with over 500 peer-reviewed papers. Dr. Pierre Corey was chief of critical care at the University of Wisconsin Hospital. In March 2020, the pair co-founded Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance to work on COVID-related treatment and prevention. Their work then moved into COVID-19 vaccine injury care, since for both the long-haul COVID sufferers and the vaccine injured, their problems are caused by the same thing, toxicity of the spike protein, which is part of the virus and what's produced by the body after vaccination.
We know that the spike protein induces persistent inflammation of several of the immune cells. So inflammation is immune cell activity, which bring about repair mechanisms. And sometimes inflammation is generally over-exuberant.
And then they get what's called a peripheral neuropathy, in which they develop antibodies against the nerve fibers. So they get terrible shooting pains, paresthesias, numbness in their legs, terrible pain, burning pains, and which can be enormously disabling.
It's wickedly complex. Every single organ has been affected. The biggest is the neuroinflammation, all of the different mechanisms and how it affects the brain, the heart with myocarditis, the intestines. I have a lot of GI dysfunction with a lot of my patients. They can't tolerate foods. They have new food sensitivities. There is not an organ system that has not been affected. Tinnitus, vertigo, dizziness, loss of hearing, loss of vision. It's unending.
My neurologist said, oh, I don't want to hear that you had the vaccine. I don't want to hear anything about that.
Within 2 days of my vaccine, I had visited 7 emergency rooms. To be dismissed by every single one of them, being told it was anxiety in my head, conversion disorder, functional neurological disorder, given psycho meds, anti-psych meds.
Nobody wants to hear that something bad is going on. I think if people look, you can done see.
He got vaccinated on like a Friday, and on Sunday, Sunday morning at 1 a.m., was on life support. He was diagnosed with myocarditis. Doctors, of course, would not say it was vax injured, but why would a 6-year-old have myocarditis?
My son Sean played hockey his whole life. To continue to play hockey, he had to get a vaccine. He took one Pfizer shot and died 33 days later. The cause of death is unascertained. He was perfectly healthy with no underlying conditions, and he just died 33 days later. And here in Canada, they're still pushing the vaccine. They want little children to go get it.
You were super duper today, getting your COVID vaccine, Elmo.
Yeah, there was a little pinch, but it was okay.
I took a trip up there to the North Pole. I went there and I vaccinated Santa Claus myself.
Children have like almost the perfect recovery rate. Very few children have died from COVID alone, and almost no healthy children have. And yet we are approving it for millions of toddlers in this country.
Meanwhile, in Europe, many countries stop shots for young people a full 8 months before Elmo got his jab.
Finland has become the latest country to pause the use of the Moderna vaccine.
Like Sweden and Denmark have decided to stop using the COVID-19 vaccine.
French health authorities advise against the use of the Moderna COVID jab for people under 30
due to the risk of heart inflammation.
While acknowledging the same risks, the official recommendation in the U.S. didn't change. Everyone ages 6 months and older should get vaccinated for COVID-19.
12 to 17-year-olds who we're working to vaccinate over the next 4 months, and we can vaccinate 1 million of them, which would be great strides. Over the next 4 months, we could expect 30 to 40 of these mild, self-limited cases of myocarditis.
I can tell you as a cardiologist, it's not mild and it's not self-limiting. Self-limited would mean that they kind of go away on their own, but doesn't go away. This is not debatable. Myocarditis in some children is fatal. One of the things that's very important in myocarditis, we cannot let them play in sports. The surge of adrenaline is going to trigger sudden cardiac death. Two periods of time where there's a surge of adrenaline during sports and activity, and also between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the normal waking cycle. COVID respiratory illness is not the big risk for myocarditis. What we know from the CDC evaluation and now over 200 papers that COVID-19 vaccine-induced myocarditis is the big threat to our children.
The VAERS data, which is the Vaccine Adverse Reporting System, it's like a flat line. And then all of a sudden, it spikes up by more than 100-fold. And the individual doctors tell me that, I've been in practice for 30 years. I've never had to report anything to the VAERS system. But this year, I had to report 25.
The norm is that VAERS would have been sufficient signal and that there would have been deployed in response to that teams of epidemiologists and medical scientists trying to get to the bottom of that. That clearly has not happened.
Vilification of doctors who, we're posting, a different approach, a different theory of the case, coming out of New York and saying, this is not what we normally are seeing here. And then they were being censored and their videos are being pulled down. And just like, there's so much information we don't know. How could anybody have the hubris to say, well, that what that person's saying is just wrong. It's misinformation.
There's only one member of Congress who has consistently taken up the issue of vaccine injury. Senator Ron Johnson has hosted multiple roundtable discussions, bringing together leading doctors, researchers, and patients. For his efforts, he's routinely criticized as anti-science, but he continues to offer one of the few venues for open discussion at this level. It's not only doctors who are being silenced and vilified.
Have you personally experienced censorship in trying to share your story or anything about vaccine injury? If so, put your hand up now.
It's really sad that we're having to talk in code language, but that's what we're having to do on social media. We use abbreviated terms, we can't say certain words. So we've had to finagle a way to still communicate about our real injuries that happened to us because we're not allowed to talk.
It was tougher when I would come back to school and it was people I was friends with being like, you faked it for social media though, so you get followers, right? So you could be an influencer. And I was like, you think I just turned 21 and you think I wanted to spend my whole summer in a hospital bed? What's wrong with you? They're like, I just had to check.
From when the post that I did, that I was desperate, basically, right? And the first, I would say 2 days, was mostly negativity. She was faking it, that it's misinformation, that I should go to jail for misinformation, that I was doing everything in my power to kill other people because I was spreading this information, so I have blood on my hands now. Then they would also say, she deserves to die because she chose it, or that would serve me, right?
Me talking about what happened to my daughter is misinformation. How is that possible?
I don't know any other victim of any other crime or scenario where something goes wrong in your life where you're not allowed to talk about it.
How many times have you seen a vaccine injured or somebody that had a bad reaction on the news? They don't put it out there.
I've completely lost all my friends, about 20 or so people who abandoned me entirely over this last little over a year since I got my pulmonary embolism.
My daughter was doing the right thing. She was doing what our government, the powers that be, suggested. And she did it with all the goodness and grace in her heart to help people. She was sitting people when they were with people when they were sick and their families couldn't.
people think, oh, they're, you know, everything's being taken care of. That's not the case. You know, most of the things come out of our pocket. And then you start going to see other specialists that won't take insurance. You know, a $50 copay, that's not such a thing. It's like, you know, all right, today was $3,000 or $10,000. So it adds up quickly, and it's hard to explain to people. It's challenging.
Theirs wasn't the only alert system throwing up safety signals that should have been investigated. In fact, there were several. And what they have in common is that the U.S. health authorities wanted to keep the data hidden from the public. For example, the VSafe app was created by the CDC to collect post-vaccine health information on a large scale. It was very effective. Within months, over 10 million Americans had enrolled. The Informed Consent Action Network, or ICAN, asked the CDC for VSafe's data. Aaron Seary is ICAN's attorney.
Was the CDC transparent about this information? No. It took us a year and a half of legal battles to get it, 2 lawsuits in federal court. Only before they had no other choice did they finally reveal it. Here it is. About a 7.7% of people in VSafe reported needing medical care. 7.7%, that is 1 in 13 people. Most 25% of those people needed emergency room care or were hospitalized, and another 48% sought urgent care.
The U.S. Armed Forces maintains probably the most complete database, recording every single medical visit a service member makes.
Defense Medical Epidemiology Database is the red flag, the sentinel alert. It's the Paul Revere of data to us as doctors to say, hey, docs, we're seeing a lot of XYZ, whatever it is. In this case, it would be vaccine injuries.
Pfizer tracked adverse reactions for the first 90 days of vaccine rollout, as required by law, documenting over 42,000 cases. They didn't make any of that data public, however, until they were forced to.
A judge in Texas has ruled that the FDA cannot take 75 years to release data about the COVID-19 vaccine, saying they got to make that info public in about 8 months. Public health and medical professionals for transparency said the data can and should be released quickly because it only took the FDA about 4 months to review that data before granting full approval for the Pfizer vaccine.
We know that in the first 90 days, the data reported to Pfizer, and we have this in black and white, it's released by the FDA and Pfizer. There were 1,122 four deaths directly related to the vaccine and over 42,000 adverse events, many of which were serious adverse events.
Pfizer should have been off the market by February 1st of 2021 based on their internal data.
It's useful to think in terms of incentives. The threat of costly lawsuits incentivizes companies to ensure their products are safe. For vaccines, that incentive doesn't exist. Since 1986, vaccine manufacturers have had blanket immunity to liability, meaning no matter what happens to a person after taking a vaccine, the manufacturer can't be sued.
Many individuals, including lawyers, attorneys, and politicians, often appear as though they strive to make a difference. Yet in reality, they may be offering just enough hope to prevent you from taking action yourself. The allure of the legal system is often a facade misrepresented by television and officials alike. When they declare that you can't sue or hold them accountable due to blanket immunity, they are telling only partial truths. Similarly, the notion of a one-year statute of limitations does not fully encapsulate reality. These misconceptions persist because people are unaware of the profound empowerment that comes with truly understanding your rights. These rights can reshape your reality, but only when you grasp how they function, something that can prove challenging amidst widespread misinformation. Fortunately, there is one source that stands apart, General Carl Miller. A decorated war hero, General Miller offers a clear and concise explanation that cuts through the clutter. His comprehensive 5-hour video, along with verifiable proof of his credentials, is available for free at honorcarlmiller.com. Pause this right now and set a reminder in your phone. This is an opportunity too significant to overlook. Discover the truth behind this blatant conspiracy to commit fraud. Visit our tribute to Carl Miller's military service after this video and equip yourself with his knowledge to truly understand and exercise your rights without any cost to you. Not even an email is needed. Now let's get back to this mostly true explanation of the biggest conspiracy of fraud the world has known to date.
React 19 is a nonprofit started by Brianne Dressen to fill the gaps. It helps the vaccine injured find each other, raises funds for expensive treatment, and presses the authorities to help.
In 12 short months, we amassed over 21,000 COVID vaccine injured here just in the United States. Between our partnerships globally that amount to close to 24 different countries, we're sitting at about 40 to 50,000 COVID vaccine injured globally.
A preschool teacher and mom, she herself suffered a severe neurological reaction to the AstraZeneca shot after eagerly joining the U.S. trials.
So I spent the next several months with my condition continuing to decline, fighting for my life, my husband calling repeatedly out to the drug company, asking for help, begging for help, and our cries for help went unanswered.
Finally, she got lucky. The National Institutes of Health, or NIH, flew her out to join a small-scale study with 22 other vaccine-injured, and it changed everything.
They know how to treat this.
How do they treat it?
What they've told me and others is that that early intervention is key, and that immunotherapy, when it comes to an immune-mediated disease like a vaccine reaction, that the most important thing you can do is calm down the immune system and stop the attack in your body.
So they know what's happening. They know how to treat it. They know early intervention is the key, and yet none of that's being acknowledged and developed into some sort of program to help people who are affected.
Correct.
Robert Krakow is a New York attorney specializing in vaccine injury law for the last 20 years.
It's the policy of the U.S. government that people get injured by vaccines. We know that, and they should be compensated. But the program is so inadequate that there is almost no opportunity for justice.
The specific program for emergency use vaccines is called the CICP, or Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program.
That program is completely inadequate. There's no provision for attorneys. There's no judicial process. It's totally confusing. There's no understanding of what the standard is for who gets compensated and who doesn't.
One of the most important things that the COVID vaccine injured need is they need recognition. It all starts with recognition. Until people can see that this is a problem, nothing is going to be able to be addressed. If you can't see it, then you don't know that it needs to be fixed. They're invisible. Those people that are walking around with this screaming in their head 24/7, you're not even going to suspect that the person that you just passed by is enduring an unbelievable hell every single day of their life.
Have you or someone close to you suffered harm from being injected? Share your story about yourself or someone else with us. Our aim is to create an undeniable awareness that will compel those accountable to address the issues and make amends. This service is provided in honor of General Carl Miller, and with his knowledge, just one person with the right amount of passion could cleanse the entire system. We never waste your time, so let me continue this conversation by you going to injectionjustice.com right now before it slips your mind. I'll see you there.